Remember this this Sunday morning, we're going to take up, it's going to be our youth Sunday. So our youth's going to be singing and preaching and teaching and everything else. And they're going to do some skits. But we're also going to take up a love offering for our youth that are going on our mission trip, okay? So be praying about that and what to give. And if you can't give anything, pray for them. But if you can give something, give it. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 is where we're going to be. I'm hoping this music stand will be able to hold up under this Bible, because this baby's it's a heavy one. I was preaching somewhere one time. They had a music stand like this. I think it was a Wild Game Supper or something. And it was doing good. About halfway through, the weight of the Word of God. Goosh. I carry a Bible that should be on somebody's end table at home, because I can't see, so I use big letter Bibles and reading glasses. So I'm not afraid to say that I've got flaws. Are y'all ready to get in the Word? This is so exciting. Today I was studying along in the Word, and I was thinking about something. All of a sudden God gave me a Father's Day message, and it was so massive. It was crazy good. And I went to start studying on it and reading on it. And then God showed me something else in it. It's in Genesis chapter 9, where it talks about the rainbows. You know, it said God put a bow in the sky, in the clouds, to remind himself that he would not destroy the earth with water again, right? And he says, when he sees, man, I don't want to preach this message. That's not the Father's Day part. But he said, when I see the rainbow, I'll be reminded of the covenant. Now, I don't want to preach that, but can y'all handle this right here, how good this is? Do you ever see, what do you do when you see a rainbow? Yeah, you smile. Or you go, it's a rainbow! Come on, man. Right? That's the first, you start running into the house, or you call someone, it's a rainbow! And Lord help, if it's a double rainbow, I get silly. I go, it's a double rainbow! You know what I mean? You know, come on. You get excited. But you think, well, it's science. No, it's not as much science as God said. The earth will scream of my covenant. And on top of that, he says, I will do it where when I see it, I'll be reminded that they get mercy and grace. God, shoot. Do you hear what I just said? Now from now on, when you see a rainbow, you go, man, look, a rainbow, mercy and grace. And then you can know on the other side of that rainbow, God's looking at that same rainbow saying, mercy and grace. Because the earth automatically does it. Using the sun, using the clouds, using the cup, and just says, hey, God, remember? That, okay, let's tie that. I'm not going to preach that whole message, maybe not. I'm just saying, if you roll that on over, if that's still going on since the day, then that means God can't go past His Word. He's got to, if He says a promise, then the promise will take place. That's still happening. He said, what I'm talking about is that, just think how much more that Jesus, when he said, I'm coming, and this covenant that I did at Calvary, I'm coming. You understand what I'm saying now? So you just, next time you see a rainbow, you look up there and say, mercy and grace. God keeps His Word. Man, if that's something, if He just done that, He done that one when Noah come out of the ark. Y'all feel like y'all had an appetizer now? It's good. Good. Let's get in the Word. Let's drive. Y'all want to drive the Word a little bit? We'll just cruise around town on this one. No, I guess not. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught. I hear pages turn. I must have told you the wrong place. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. See, in my old age, I'm slower now. I'd have went on and preached 30 minutes before I'd recognize that. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus. Is that where y'all are at? Y'all seeing that? Listen, if you've heard. Paul's sly, man. He's like, he's always doing this. He's always, I can understand, he's an apostle, but he's also a preacher. He's also a minister. He's a church. He is constantly worried. He's always thinking about people and where they stand with the Lord. And I think it's 2 Corinthians 13, he says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. You should know that you're in the faith. If you don't know you're in the faith, you'd be reprobate. That means you would think you're in the faith, but all of your actions, words, and deeds would cause you to, that somebody who was in the faith would look at you and say, nope, they're not in the faith. But you're supposed to examine yourself. Are you okay? You're supposed to examine yourself. Paul says, hey, he's constantly giving you a word. The Bible's all, it's like a mirror. It's like an examining room. It's like a hospital room all the time. It's always putting you under the microscope, and I like that. I constantly need to put myself under the microscope. Amen? Do you? I do. I want the Word of God to examine me constantly. And I like where he said that. He said, the key word in the verse of that verse is if. If. That means the onus is on you. Okay? That means there should be some action past this, and it's really on you. Because God's already done everything He needs to do. Y'all excited about this? I'm excited. That's verse 1. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversations the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. I like this. Paul uses this reference a lot in his writings, but especially here he uses a clothing reference. Clothing. Don't even get, I'm not going to come here, you ain't going to get nothing out of me talking about what to wear and what not to wear, hardly, okay? But I will say this, Paul uses a clothing reference here. He says you need to know what to take off. Amen? And it's not like what exactly to wear, because he was a Pharisee, he's no longer a Pharisee. Amen? So he's not worried about religious clothing, but he's talking about spiritual clothing. He's talking about how the aptitude of your spiritual clothing. Get what he says here. He says, that you put off concerning the former conversations, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He gives us some examples here in a few minutes, but I want you to see this. I come up with this one on my own. Have you ever been somewhere where you were dressed inappropriately? Not that kind of inappropriately. Just not dressed for the occasion. Amen? Like, you know, everybody else has got a suit on and you don't. Now, I don't like suits, but if everybody else has got one on, I kind of want to have one. Amen? Like if you go to a meeting, everybody, hey, come to the meeting. It's business casual. When you get there, everybody's got suit and ties on. You're like, okay, I'm wearing flip-flops and T-shirt and jeans. This is my business casual. Do you understand what I'm saying? The first thing you want to do is change clothes. Right? I will run to the Walmart. I'll run to Kohl's. I'll run down to Belk. And I'll give me a $199 suit quickly. That's where I shop for my suits. I like them. The cheaper the better. And things are all over you like a cheap suit. Amen? Come on. But that's what he says. This is what he says. He goes, what you would want to do is you would want to take that off immediately because you would recognize the fact, and you put that in any category, you would recognize that you are not dressed appropriately. Not somebody else telling you, not somebody else, you need to change. It would be like, I am totally underdressed. I am totally overdressed. I need to change right now. I need to take off this stuff because I no longer want to wear this. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not even talking about clothes. I'm talking about your conversation, your attitude, the things that you've been doing your whole life. Automatically, when you get saved, there's going to be something in you that says, I need to get this stuff off. Right? I love when in the King James it says conversation. What it means is, you know, what you love is what you talk about. What you love is what you talk about. If you're passionate about something or if you love doing something, you'll talk about it if somebody gets you in the conversation. And you'll know if you care. Like if you talk to me about mechanics, I'm going to be like, I don't really know. Amen? Now if you want to talk to me about, you know, sports or Jesus or food or, you know what I mean? You'll hear some passion come out. You'll hear some details. Amen. You'll hear some things. We'll know what this is, you know. And some like you, some of you guys know, like John, he knows you get a 28-inch torque converter and you get in there and I'm like, yeah, man, that's awesome. I'll see you later, man. Bless you, you 20-inch torque converting whatever self you are. You understand? But he's talking. But see, when you get saved and you get changed, your conversation, all of a sudden you start dismantling that, because not because you can, it's because God moved in and He wants to. Y'all get me? Are you hearing me right there? It's not because you. Well, it's Paul's not writing this saying you need to start changing. So that, what we do sometimes, we say you need to get in church. Right? I like to say that to somebody. I say that to some of my relatives when they really tick me off. Come on, y'all be real with me a little bit. I can be real with you. You know when they do something ignorant, you look at them, you need to get church. That's like a hand grenade. Just roll out in there. You get yourself church. You know, how to blow them up real quick, right? You need to get yourself church, you know. But when you say that, can we pull that? When you say that to somebody, you need to get, if they're not saved, why? What's there? What you got? You know? Music's about Jesus. Preaching's about Jesus and what I do need to do. And you study about this guy in the book. And you know, y'all worship and all that. And you go, that, I don't know anything about that. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not telling you. Don't leave here and say, well, Pastor, you said nothing about anybody but church. I ain't say that. But if you do really want my opinion on it, I'll tell you this. Invite them to Jesus first and maybe they'll come to the church you go to. Amen? Live in such a way on your job or in your community that they see Jesus in your life, then they ask you what's going on, then they get so thirsty they want to go where you want to go. But I'm just saying, when Jesus saves you, he's gonna start taking some stuff away from you, and you're going to be the one who's helping him get it off. Man, I can stay here. I want to stay right there and preach that, John. When you were a kid, did your parents ever have to help you get some stuff off? Have you ever had to help your kids get some stuff off? Maybe go four-wheeling, go side-by-side riding, and they get mud. You get home at night, and you got to pull stuff off. Is that something that happens? You're like, Dad, get them boots. Right? Somehow I've got all my garments up over my boots. Will you reach under there and get my boot? Come on. Did I only want to grow up that way? Somehow you got all your pants looped into your boots, and you can't get your boots out of your pants, and so you go, hey, Dad! Or, hey, Mom, Dad's probably done sleep. Mom's yanking on one boot, you're yanking on the other. Well, eventually, you're trying to get out of that stuff. That's God in you. Amen, preacher, that's good. That's God in you yanking, get this off of me. This is not who I am. And it's not a religious thing. It's just who you are in Christ now. You want it off as bad as anybody else does. And man, ain't that good? Paul puts that in there and it just gets sweet. That's just the way it is. That's how I explain people that are saved. It baffles my mind when somebody says, I can say, I just do whatever I want. You can do whatever you want as long as God says you can. But if he tells you to stop, you'll stop. I thought about this on the way to church today. Man, I'm trying to get in a habit that I don't say never anymore with God. God, I'll never. You know what I mean? You'll end up doing stuff that your never will turn into every single day. Never mind. Every day you will. Do you stop saying never? Okay, y'all good? Let's move on to another spot. Man, I love this. Y'all haven't. I love this. This is the best time of my life. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen? Salvation is not a working of your blood-pumping heart. It's a working of your mind. And God has to rework your mind over the time of your life. Some of y'all sin for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. Even if you listen, let's just take that, erase what I just said. Listen, we were born sinners. No, nobody taught you how to do anything in sin. If they did, you would have figured it out over time. Chris, I'll come back there and roll you up. Did you hear what I just said? You hear what I said? Nobody had to tell us what to do, did we? Even if they did, if they told us what to do, we could add to it or take away from it or make it different. Is that correct? That's correct. I didn't have to have no... Somebody's going, this is what... See, I know exactly what that is. Well, this is how you do it. I can do that better than that. Right? So God, when He saves you, He starts reworking your mind. He rewrites the constitution of who you are. Man, some of the bills need to be ratified. Amen? I'm going to show y'all. Y'all don't think I'm telling the truth, but there's some stuff in here. It gives an example. The Bible gives an example here in a minute. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Here, remind me when I say renewing of my mind or the renewing of your mind, there's some examples here that I don't have to preach it and then have to go back and read it again. Listen to this. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Amen? Here, y'all ready? Scott, you ready? You ain't ready for this. Watch this. You ready? Be ye angry. Get it now? No, I'm sorry. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Woo! How many of you are glad that that's in the Bible? Gosh, y'all so spiritual. Y'all are spiritual people. Be not... Yeah, I'm sorry. I just went right at you right there. But you can talk to me after church. Listen to this. Be ye angry. The Bible says, be ye angry. I thought I misread that. I mean, I went over that thing four times. I'm sitting there, be ye not angry. Be ye angry. Well, close my book. I got that. Come on, man. Hey. Poop. I can't preach that. Be ye angry. Sin not. Be ye angry. And then the Lord really started dealing with my heart about it. Okay, first of all, let's deal with the lowest hanging fruit here, okay? First. I'm ticked off of that person. That other person. Okay? Is that okay? And you know what? It's all right to be mad sometimes. Be angry. You read it. Underline that. Highlight it. Put a lighter there. Because I didn't say it. God did. Be angry. People operating in sin. People operating on behalf of the devil, because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but principalities and wickedness in high places. You're wrestling against the devil, but some people are operating on the wrong side for the wrong team. And they'll do some stuff, and it will tick you off. And if you walk out of here thinking, well, I don't ever get mad, I'm sorry, you're telling a lie. Go back to the verse that says, stop lying, okay? So it's... All right, so you don't be angry. So you can get mad when somebody does something that's wrong to you in their sin. But here's the key. Be mad at the sin, don't be mad at them. Be mad at the sin, don't be mad at them. So that means you're ticked off and mad about what happened. So you're going to pray for them. You're going to pray for your response. You're going to pray that you handle it right. But you're not going to handle it in a sinful way. And the thing that you're really angry about is the fallen condition of those people. Amen? Are y'all good? Now, that was the lowest hanging fruit, and that was easy. All y'all are like, yeah, preacher, me and you, man. I love you. You're good. Be angry. If you really want to get mad, get angry at your own sin. Get ticked off at your sin. Be real mad about that. When you're doing the thing that you do and you know it's a sin, you be angry about that. And now, you be real mad. So mad that you sin like that you sin not. Your sin should make you mad. When you say something, think something, do something, it should tick you off. Not, I can't believe the people at the store put that out there. I can't believe that guy said that. I can't believe they cut me off. I can't believe they did that. I don't believe my boss. I can't believe my wife. I can't believe my husband. I can't believe my kids. You need to say, man, I can't believe this happened to me again. I let myself fall. And I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. Man, I'm mad at myself. I'm mad. I'm angry. And I'm not going to sin again. Y'all like the last part of that? This one's hard to do, married people. I'll just pick you out. Right? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. I can see some of y'all. I wish I couldn't see y'all's faces sometimes. Have you ever done the old? Yeah, some of you know what that is. The cover and the sheet, you just roll over and you're like, ah! Good night, baby. Love you. Love you. Right? What you're supposed to do, somehow, some way, is you're going to have to let that go. Say, God, help me forgive her. Help me forgive me. Her forgive me. You got to forgive him. You got to forgive them. You've got to get some peace. That right there will kill you. That right there will destroy you. And you know why he said? You know why the Word of God says that? Because if you can do it once, you can do it twice. If you can do it twice, you can do it three times. And if you can do it for a long period of time, one of these days you'll be sitting alone by yourself, bitter and angry at everybody. That's what he's trying to say right here. Don't be angry and let it roll over to another day and another day and another day, because eventually you're going to stay mad and somebody could come and ask you 15 or 20 years from now and you're not going to know why you're mad, but you'll have a list. Come on, man. We could have altar call right now and that'd been good. See, God, the Word of God's good, ain't it? So, hey, sometimes you just got to get to the place where you lose the argument, where you lose the fight on purpose. Fall on your own sword. Give up. Quit. Right? Man, some of you are, will you move on? Yeah, but be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Start working on this. Start working on this. Because some of you need your marriage saved. We ain't going to get no divorce. Yeah, but you can be married and not love one another. You can be married and share the house. Why not share the relationship? Amen? Make a note right there. That's good. 27, neither give place to the devil. Golly. Is that in there too? Neither give place to the devil. You know what that says? This is not a big old gaping area. This is not pornography. It's not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's not meth. It's not crack. It's not going and picking up a prostitute. It's not. I have to throw some of this stuff in here. Just keep some of y'all away. It says, don't give him a place. You know what a place is? If you ever go, just study rock climbing. Rock climbing, now these people are insane, but all they're looking for is a small hold. Just where they can get their fingers, come on man, just where they can get their fingers on that ledge, right? But their intent is not just to get their fingers on the ledge. They're going to try to get all the way up and over and into that area. You understand what I'm saying? I can go back and preach a lot of stuff right here, but some of y'all don't understand. The devil, you've got an adversary, you've got an enemy who does not mind to start over. Y'all want me to break that down for you? You go get all spiritual and get in church, start serving God, reading your Bible, praying, doing the whole nine yards, and you think, man, I have whooped the devil here. And all he don't want you to go back to doing everything you was doing. All he wants to do is just give me a... Remember where sin started for you. All he's saying is, hey, man, be ticked off at your wife so much that you can make a reason why to talk to the other lady more than you talk to her about things that we're just talking. We're just talking. Man. hey man, that guy, he's just a friend of mine. Yeah, but you ain't talked to your husband like that in years. Foothold, just a place, right? Well, I don't, now listen, I know y'all gonna get mad at me right here. Well, you, listen to this, can't you, movies, TV, all that. Yeah, you got lined up with God on that, but let me tell you something. God didn't get you so far out of the well right off the bat. Watch this, listen to this, hear this. Next thing you know, you're listening to everything but God. Amen? Next, all he wants to do is just give me a little place, man. I don't want the whole room today. He's just like a mountain climber, man, because he's coming. Amen? He's going to wedge your elbow, lift the knee, and next thing you know, he's going to be all over your life. Amen? Preacher, it's good preaching. Y'all think I come in here and I'm just preaching. This, I'm listening to this myself. I got to hear this. Oh, man, you're off limits, man. You're a man of God. Boy, they just let you. My, are you kidding me? Every single day, he's like, hey, you got the right. No, I don't. No, you don't. Well, it's been 2 years. It's been 10 years. It's been 15 years. Sin, lust, plus sin equals, say it loud. That's the equation. And it always comes out to that answer. Lust plus sin equals death every time. So when you're being tempted and sin's right there, just do the rest of the equation, because the rest of the equation will never change. Man, we did math at church tonight too. Praise God. Y'all ready to get some examples? Here's an example, verse 27. This is what I was talking about by renewing of your mind. 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Is that good? That's a good warning, ain't it? Listen, but this is deeper than that. So you take whatever your sin is, whatever stronghold was in your life before Jesus, or whatever is, okay, y'all with me? This guy right here, this example, he's a thief. This is not your common thief. This is your kleptomaniac. This is your person who steals even if there's no reason to steal. Have you ever met somebody like that? I met a guy like that once. He stole a dog collar out of the PX. That's a military base. We had no dogs. Okay. He was on base. He went into the store and he stole a dog collar and got caught. And they asked him, why'd you steal that? You don't have a dog. He said, I don't know. I couldn't help myself. Oh, never mind that. Got it? So this is deeper. Can y'all get there deeper than that? This is deeper than that. And don't sit here and look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, whatever's deeper for you. Okay, thank you. All right, let him that stole steal no more. Listen, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. What is that? Not only do you not steal anyway. God, I wish I could use my own examples, but I'm not going to. I'm using this one. I'm not stealing anymore. That's good, right? Praise God. You tell everybody, get up and say, I'm not stealing anymore. I ain't stolen years. No, it's bigger than that. Then he said, don't steal, go to work. The same hands that you used to pull the stuff, put it in your pocket, hide it, how quick you got with your hands. Hello? You know how you got with your sin, that you could do it? And sometimes nobody catch you until you got something. Hey man, preacher, help me. You can do it, no problem. Well, here's what he said. He says, when God reworks your mind, not only are you not going to steal anymore, whatever you do, you're going to do the direct opposite in your actions, because the reworking your mind, you're not the same person. You do opposite of what you used to do. The thief's working now. The thief's got a full-time job. He's not breaking into houses. He's not selling stolen merchandise. He's not getting arrested. He's got a full-time job, and he's down there at the job working every day. Y'all got it? Does it go deeper than that? It gets better. What's this? Let him work with his hands things which is good, that he may have to give to him Do y'all shout, run, and praise every once in a while? Just be silly. Or is there anybody running in their mind right now? Just doing a lap in your mind? I'm doing a lap in my mind. Do you see that? Is that a totally reworked mind? Not because he wanted to rework his mind. It's just because God got into his life. Do you understand? What is he? He's not stealing anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God I've got to lock my junk up. Amen. Now he's got a job. He's working. That's a totally different character, man. Now he probably won't ever start stealing again. But not only that, God says, I want you to start earning that when you see somebody else, that's a total... It's not about you anymore. That's God. It's hard to do what you were doing in your sin life when all of a sudden now you're concerned about people that you never were concerned about before. Ain't that? That's big. When I was reading that, I was like, man, this is so good. I mean, this carpet almost took off. Sorry. If I'd have failed, somebody laughed. Y'all good. Ain't that good, though? Ain't that good how God does? That's who... God, right now, it looks like, so is there anybody here like that? I mean, your testimony was, I was a blank, right? And then now I was doing opposite of what the blank was. But now I'm reaching out to people that were, you know what I mean? Golly, when he was breaking in houses, I bet he went by people that needed stuff all the time. And he was thinking, I don't know why I'm saying but he or she would walk by and look at them and go, I wonder if they have anything that I can steal from them. Amen? But now they're looking at them and going, I wonder if they have a need of things that I've worked for, my money, my time, my effort, that I can give them. That's it. That's salvation. That's Jesus. That's what happens. You don't have to tell anybody that. They go, what happened to you? Right? I mean, you can tell them but they're going to know when you're not rifling around in their stuff. Right? It's good. Let not corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know what grieves the Holy Spirit? When you come into the place where God's working. God, write this down. Please, somebody write this down. Please write this down. I'm going to stop right here. Let's all stand. Say, come get a song. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve the Holy Spirit if you're not saved. But if you are saved, how would you grieve the Holy Spirit? As an individual or as a church or a ministry? This is how we grieve the Holy Spirit. When God's working, right? When God's working and He's doing what He wants to do, but yet we do what we want to do instead. You hear what I just said? Did y'all get that? I know we're moving around. We're getting ready to depart from this building. But did you hear what I just said? How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is trying to do what God wants it to do. You ever been in a service where God was moving in a song? Or God was working in a certain part of a message. What we always have to do as a church is we have to turn into that, not turn away from that. And as an individual, let me help you here as an individual. Because you know what? A lot of our churches are going this way. A lot of church people are going this way. When God's dealing with you to do something. Amen? And that could be anything. But a lot of times it's when He's drawing you to a place of repentance or worship. And you say, no, God, not now. It's kind of inconvenient. And this service is kind of not going that way, Lord. And my neighbor right here beside me, I brought them, and I don't want to kind of look the fool. No, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you know it's the Holy Spirit, but you're going to do your own thing. You understand what I'm saying? That's how we grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to attend a church where we put the Holy Spirit and we say, no, Holy Spirit, we're going to do what we want to do. instead of what you want. Amen? That's important in a church. If the Holy Spirit can't move, then we're wasting our time. We'll be wasting our time. Amen? I'm going to let them play a song of invitation. But this word, hopefully it just edifies you. If you need to pray, come pray.